Hey, buddy, you have a good birthday.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Good. What's all this stuff around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you doing?
I got to work on my announcements for a carpenter shop tomorrow. I'm just putting together the videos and the clips and stuff. It's going to take me a little while.
Coming along good, though.
It is. It's just, I mean, it won't take me a little while. I'm just going to get some focus. I need a little pick-me-up.
We got some coffee.
Yeah. I'd love a good cup of coffee.
What kind do you want?
Let me go. Can you do a cold brew?
Yeah.
Thanks, babe. Cold brew. Hey, I appreciate that. That looks really good. Looking forward to that.
How's it coming along?
Make some progress, babe. I'm about halfway done. Yeah, that cold brew coffee you made was really good. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I got at least another hour of work here, though. I could probably use another cup of coffee, to be honest with you.
All right. Same kind?
I do a hot cup now. You think you can do a hot cup of coffee?
Can I?
I think you can.
Of course.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Got your hot coffee ready.
Thank you, babe. I appreciate that.
Oh.
Love me some hot coffee.
Ooh, don't burn yourself.
I'm trying not to. It's pretty hot.
Yeah. All right, I'll check on you a little bit.
All right, thank you.
You're still working?
Yes, babe. It's just the editing. You gotta like splice stuff out, and the music's gotta transition and all that. I'm literally like maybe 30 minutes away from being done.
Yeah.
Can I get one more cup of coffee?
You had to already.
I know, but I got the wheels are turning. I can't stop. But can I get one more?
Alright, well I heard this new kind called, well it's not really new, but there's one called Laudation.
Laudation?
Yeah, like, apparently a lot of people are drinking it. You want to try it? I got a recipe how to make it.
If it's got caffeine in it, I'll try it. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
That's fine.
Alright.
Hey, you got coffee?
Yeah, this is the last one, no more.
How can you cut me off?
Yes.
All right. What is it says? This is the
Laudation.
Laudation.
Yes.
Okay. And this
so
is what
everybody's
trying.
Drinking it.
All right. The world's just on fire over this. Laudation,
yes.
Latte.
Good bit.
All right. See if it'll get me through the rest of this announcement. Oh! What is that?
It's a big thing. That's what everybody likes.
It's lukewarm.
I haven't tried it yet.
Babe, I'm sorry. I gotta have a hot cup of coffee. I can't do it, either cold or hot. I can't. We don't do lukewarm. All right?
I'm big on hot.
You know, can I have a hot cup?
Yes.
Thank you. Bless you. Thank you very much. Lukewarm coffee.
It's not my recipe.
Lukewarm anyway. Lukewarm in general. Oh, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Revelation 7 churches. This is the last Sunday, guys. Come on. We're going to be transitioning as we go into Easter. We're going to be transitioning to a four-series message on the Holy Spirit that will conclude with Pentecost on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So let's be praying about that. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. I'm reading from the NIV. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich, I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who's victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I love to sometimes transition to Eugene Peterson's work called The Message. How many of you enjoy reading The Message once in a while? I like to read it because it's kind of right where we are. It's right modern day vernacular. It kind of speaks to our heart a little easier. Let me share with you the verses from The Message. Write to Laodicea, to the angel of the church, God's yes and faithful and accurate witness, the first of God's creation, says, I know you inside and out and find little to my liking. You're not cold, you're not hot. For better to be either cold or hot, you're stale. You're stagnant. You make me want to vomit. You brag, I'm rich, I got it made, I need nothing from anyone. Obvious that fact, you're a pitiful, blind beggar, threadbare and homeless. Here's what I want you to do. Buy your gold from me, gold that's been through the refiner's fire. Then you'll be rich. Buy your clothes from me, clothes designed in heaven. You've gone around half naked long enough. And buy medicine for your eyes for me so you can see, really see. The people I love, I call to account, prod and correct and guide so that they'll live at their best. Up on your feet then, about face, run after God. Look at me. I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear me, call and open the door. I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Conquerors will sit alongside me at the head table, just as I have conquered, took the place of honor at the side of my Father. That's my gift to the conquerors. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches. There's something really interesting about this letter to the church at Laodicea. As you look back over the churches that we've covered in the last several weeks, you find that phraseology that he uses, I know your deeds. And then he always comes back and he says to that church, this is something that you've got to correct. This is something that you've got to bring up to speed. But I want you to notice something here. There's not one single word that is spoken favorable to this church. We had one church, remember, where there was nothing negative said about them. Now we have a church, nothing positive is said about that church. He says, I know your deeds, but he commends them for nothing. That's quite unique because in every church, every other church, we had wretched sin, we had paganism, we had hypocrisy, we had apostasy, we had immorality, and there was still something that could be said. But he said, nevertheless, I want to share this with you. You do have a little strength. Remember that from last week? But not this church. Not Laodicea. Let's explore the content of the letter and just go verse by verse through this passage. Verse 14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen. These are the words of the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. In other words, he does the same thing that you've been accustomed to hearing him do letter after letter. He pulls his credentials. He pulls his identity here. He says he's the Amen. He's the one that says, so be it. He's the final word, if you will. In fact, he claims rulership to God's creation. You're reading the scriptures here. Because guess what? He was there in the beginning. I want you to think about that. I want to submit to you this morning that Christ is eternal. You can't find a beginning. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought we focused on that in the Christmas holidays. That Jesus came into this world. He was born one starry night in Bethlehem. No, that's just when he took on flesh. That's it. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And then look at verse 14. This is where it makes a transition. Verse 14, John says, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In other words, you have the picture here, the imagery here of Jesus pitching a tent, leaving the throne of heaven and pitching a tent on the earth. He tabernacled upon us, among us. John says that Jesus is very adequately what? Faithful. How many of you know him to be faithful? He's faithful. He's true. You can always count on his word because his word is truth. So he says, I'm the one who's qualified to evaluate the church, to assess the church. Look at verses 15 and 16. Here again, he says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. I think about that so many times. He says, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Remember what the message said? It says you're stale. It says you're stagnant. It says you make me want to vomit. And if you study this word in the original language, spit, it is the idea of throwing up. He says that's how you make me feel when you're lukewarm. And what you'll discover here in this letter, beloved, is that Jesus does the same thing that he did in the parables when he was on his Galilee mission and he was preaching about in the Galilee province. He used the context of where he was to bring spiritual lesson. He does the same thing here. Laodicea, we study that city and we discover that there are a city, the chief city, Phrygia, is in the middle of the Lycus Valley and is strategically located right there at the convergence of three major highways, three major Interstate 95s or Interstate 85s, three major highways that all have a purpose because of trade, because of business, and they were, amazingly, as you look back in this part of history, there were millionaires present. Can you imagine that? There were millionaires present, bankers and financiers, many millionaires there. They combined their wealth together, and they built huge, monstrous theaters, huge stadiums, and they had lavish public bathhouses. Remember one church, we talked about that, and I shared with you how I've seen these old bathhouses in the Holy Land. You can go in there and there might be 100 stools sitting there where people publicly bathe together. No clothes on, hot water in one, go to the petition, cold water in another. You know, when you go to the gym today, some of you go to Vidant and you go in there and, you know, if you want a sauna, you can get a sauna. If you want to jump in a cool pool, you can get in the cool pool. But imagine, you know, when you're sitting back in a place like this, you know, how many of you have ever had a massage? Massage envy. Come on. Anybody? You ever had a massage? Come on. It's okay. You can tell the truth. You're in church. But you get a massage, how? From a professional masseuse who takes you in a room, you sign the paper, you know, you determine the comfort level, and you go into a room, and you get a massage. How would you like to go in a room and be in there with 100 people getting massaged? No blanket, no towel. This is what they did in those days. This is the land that Jesus is talking about. This is the city, Laodicea. Huge baths and spas. It was also an area known for the production of woolen garments and making clothing, manufacturing cloth. And it was also known for some medicine, some powders, and some medicinal salves that you could put on your eyes to help your vision and help your sight. But they had something that was inadequate in Laodicea. They had a terrible water system. And as you study this out, Laodicea received their water through an aqueduct. They received it through an aqueduct that was 4 miles from the city, and it was piped in there. And close to Laodicea was its neighbor, Hierapolis. And Hierapolis was known for hot springs. I've been to Israel many times, going again in November. And one time I was in Israel, I went to Tiberias, and I went to a hot spring. And literally, you go into this huge hot pool, just like a jacuzzi next to a swimming pool, and it's piping hot water, but it's not heated by some machine. It's coming out of the ground. It's coming out of a hot spring. And as I ask about the Tiberias hot springs, oh, they said people fly in from here all over the world with a prescription to go bathe in the healing waters of Tiberias hot springs. It's that meaningful. It's that valuable. There were hot springs in Hierapolis. So there's a city located next to Laodicea that has hot springs. Guess what? On the other side of Laodicea was a place called Colossae. Guess what they were known for? Cold springs. Many, many years ago when I was in Bible college, we used to have to be creative for entertainment for the family because we were on a super limited budget. On Sundays, we would pick up a 99-cent off-brand Coke, cola. Don't you like it when the drinks just says cola? Okay, 99 cent. We would go through the drive-thru at McDonald's on Sunday because the hamburgers were 25 cent. And we would get a hamburger for Joy and a hamburger for me and a hamburger for Josh and a hamburger for Abby. And then we'd go by the store and get a cheap bag of chips. We didn't even buy the fries. And we would drive somewhere where we could swim for free. And that was a Sunday afternoon for a Bible college student. We did that many times. And one time I remember going to Tarpon Springs because people had said, hey, you can go down there. Swimming is free. But you better be cautioned. Why? Because the water in Tarpon Springs will freeze you to death. It took at least 10 or 15 minutes just to have the courage to get in the water. And it was literally freezing. And that water was coming, not from a pool that was pumping it. This is not a modern-day theme park. This is